is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
A lot of anticipation going into the special session of the Oregon State Legislature, which begins tomorrow morning. We've been talking to area lawmakers. We'll have another one of those conversations now with State Representative Cedric Hayden. Thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for having me again. A lot happening quickly here. I'm currently not in Salem yet, but I will be there in the morning. As you mentioned before, I come home every evening, and we'll continue to do that through this short special session.
So what are your overall thoughts regarding this session? Are the two topics the governor announced the ones you think are the most important?
Well, I think that they are important subjects, but one thing that I've been disappointed with is that we're not tackling the budget. You've got some pretty serious reforms that we're looking at that go from the Trump administration on down to local municipalities and local reform. We're talking about police reform. Some of these bills we talked about last week, some of these bills have been there in the queue for a long time and just haven't gotten there. And I think what we're going to see in those reforms is that even in this special session or this first special session, I think we're going to see some of those reforms get turned into task force because they are big concepts that are going to take a little while to go through. Be happy to go through some of those if you want to drill down into those reforms a little bit.
Sure, yeah, let's hear about those.
So, you know, as a medical professional for years, we have the boards that supervise our license. So, you know, as a healthcare provider, me, somebody that works at the hospital, you know, we have certain licenses. I do advanced sedation or deep sedation, so we have licenses for that. And we have things that we have to meet, continuing education. And if they're with any health professional, there is a database or a bank called that the boards do, National Practitioners Data Bank. And so those are places that if, you know, anybody, it doesn't have to be a patient, anybody can say, hey, I've got a concern about this practitioner, and that will go in the record. And it can stay there at a state level for a shorter period of time, but if it goes to the national level, it stays there permanently for the life. And so one thing that they're talking about is doing some sort of database that the health, kind of like what the health professionals have, and that's going to be a lot of discussion because there's a lot of discussion. Even now we have bills about how long is this appropriate to be on somebody's basically their resume or their record, and that has to do with the punishment. And I think there'll be end up a task force to tackle that because you have maybe an advisory body, some council that has been set up locally that deals with some sort of corrective action. If there is police action that is found to be inappropriate, and then you have the collective bargaining coming in. And so there's going to be talk about somehow that the local police chief has some authority if they feel like it's appropriate that those corrective actions stay rather than being taken away. Other bigger, simpler topics that I think will be handled in this, there's discussions about chokeholds and when it is appropriate to do that. There's the or at all on the national level. We've seen the federal administration say that they're going to ban chokeholds unless it's a life and death type situation. Tear gas will be another discussion, and then sound or noise guns that get used. And so I think what we'll be discussing and what's being discussed now is, okay, for protests, there'll be one category, but if the protest turns into a riot, then the police need some of these tools available to make sure that a peaceful protest doesn't go to a riot, to an unsafe situation. So those are kind of some of the big, the database, the punishment, chokehold, tear gas. Those are some of the big items. There are six legislative concepts that have to do with police reform that we'll be looking at in this short session or special session.
And also the idea of taking, I don't remember the exact wording, but the governor talked about some of her executive orders needing to be codified into a statute as part of this session as well.
Yeah, and what we're talking about there is legislative concept 45, LC 45, and this is what we call an omnibus bill, where it just deals with a whole bunch of subjects, you know, as many as they could legally fit into a LC is the way it was termed when we were talking about these. And it can range from having remote notary, somebody to document your signature, to be able to do that remotely, where it's always been show your driver's license or ID in person, relief for low-income utility. And the biggest part of that is the how government functions legally. How can government function legally during a pandemic? Now, back in the 1970s, we amended our Constitution to make sure that we had, you know, kind of this sunshine laws or making sure that everything is open to the public. But the governor is wanting to take some of these functions in the executive order and say, yeah, we can, during a pandemic, we can have a special session or a short session here, first special session, and not have access to the public, and we'll meet that 1970s constitutional amendment that required public access by putting out a couple of computers out on the front steps. And so, you know, legislative council is saying, you know, that meets the standard that our Constitution has for people to have access to their government. I'm kind of scratching my head on that. You know, one or two workstations outside of the Capitol that took to a Wi-Fi or something, however they're functionally going to make that work, I'm not sure that meets the standard of public access.
Well, I'll come back to that in a little bit. I wanted to ask you about the state budget issues, not, of course, part of this session. Now, it's been suggested that one of the reasons for that is to wait until the federal government has made some of their decisions before the state went in and started backfilling and finding ways to support the areas that needed additional funding due to COVID-19 or to make cuts. What do you think? Is this being done the right way, or should the budget have been tackled at least partially now?
Well, a lot of the COVID stuff that we're dealing with here in the special session has to do in kind of a roundabout way with some of the issues that we would deal with budgets, and like telemedicine is a good example of that, how we can provide health care cost effectively. But having said that, you know, the state has received over $1.5 billion, $1.8 billion, depending on which dollars that you count there, from the federal government, and they use the word tranche, you know, another set of money. Will there be another big set of money coming from the federal government to the states? As far as I know, we don't know that. And so I think it's a little poor planning to say, well, we're not going to deal with budgets at this point. You know, up till last week, that was the focus, that, you know, healthcare is a big issue. How are we going to fund healthcare? You know, education is a big issue. How are we going to fund education? The co-chairs were meeting. We were scheduled last week potentially to come in on the ways and means, and all of a sudden that just turned off. And that got set aside, and now we're looking at these police reform and COVID and managing the government during pandemic type reforms. And there are quite a few other policies that have been proposed for this session, some of which I support. But to say we're going to wait for the federal government to come bail us out in an election year, I think that's poor planning, and I think we should be dealing with budgets at this point.
going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Cedric Hayden with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. On tomorrow's program, County Commissioner Tim Freeman will join us. Presumptively, it'll be the formal adoption of the county budget at tomorrow morning's commissioner meeting. We'll talk more about the next year fiscally in Douglas County, also about some of the spending that's had to take place due to COVID-19 and how that has impacted the county financial situation as well. Tomorrow with Commissioner Tim Freeman. State Representative Cedric Hayden joining us. Just ahead of the special legislative session called by the governor to deal with police reform and also codifying some of the executive orders. We were talking about that just ahead of the break with the Democratic majority being so strong. Do you think the governor is going to have much trouble getting any of her proposals passed in the short session?
Well, we'll see. There seems to be developing, as I watch this being developed, the legislative concepts. We don't have bills yet, and so those are still being formed. They're being put together, and hopefully in short order we will have them turned into bills that we can actually read and get down to the bottom of what we're trying to accomplish. But there seems to be the House taking one approach and the Senate taking one approach. The Senate leadership is saying basically we want to have consensus bills that we can come into this first special session and vote on these things that we've talked about before, some of these policies, particularly the police reform policies that have been there for multiple times, haven't really been controversial, but just haven't, you know, been taken up and done. And then you've got the House side under Speaker Kotek, where there's a lot of a lot more agenda to that those items. And what we're talking about is more housing type issues and the moratorium extensions on the moratoriums on eviction extensions and those repealing 270 days after the order, lining them up to go as long as the order, and one is saying up to 270 days thereafter. And so these really, if you're going to go to that extent, those things really need to have a more thorough vetting than one small bipartisan or one small committee with the House and Senate, just a handful of members, and then very quickly have that vote on without public input into that. And so there's going to be, I think, a Senate version, and there's going to be a House version. And what I'm hearing is that the House version probably won't make it through, and the Senate version will, because those are cleaner.
Interesting. So I was just thinking here, as you're giving the description, some of this quick movement for a lot of things sounds very similar to what Congress did March, April, kind of the height of the pandemic, and a lot of decisions that were made very quickly. Is there a danger sometimes in pushing so many things through so quickly that even supporters look back later and realize they didn't get something quite right?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that's we've got, you know, these special sessions really should be limited scope. I think we've got a pretty good handle on what some of the reforms, policy reforms. I think we will end up with some work groups and some task force, even with the police reform, to make sure that we're not punishing the vast, and I mean the absolute vast majority, our public safety officers are out there working hard every day, protecting us citizens and doing a great job. And so, you know, I can't stress that enough. Strong support for our public safety officers. We've got a couple of things, policy things that I think can be bipartisan, and we want to make sure that we get that taken care of. But as far as, you know, saying getting involved with contract law and rents and how long somebody can stay, can they really stay for 270 days without paying rent, those kind of things, to codify that into a pandemic structure, I think is going too far.
How long do you think this session will last?
So what they're telling us is plan for two nights. Again, I drive home every night, but we're being told Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But there is no time limits on it. I wanted to mention quickly here that one of the things that we are hoping to get done, there is some things that I guess you could say our side is hoping to get accomplished also is LC7. That's the forestry memorandum of understanding that resolves a lot of the Forest Practice Act issue. I know this, you know, probably isn't top of mind for people, but there was a ton of negotiation that went into that for the short session that didn't happen because of some of the other bills that brought up, but there was a consensus around that, and so we're hoping to get that through during this special session. Also looking at the caps, there's been a problem with online schools. Those are capped at 3%. My wife and I's children go to public school, but we do use a kind of a homeschool virtual option, and today that's capped at 3% with the COVID response. That clearly needs to increase, and so we're looking at opening that up for this next school year so more students to be able to have online access to their education. So there are some things, you know, that are going to be bipartisan. I don't know that this special session has to be contentious at all. But I think some of the codifying for a long term without taking public input or at least enough public input will end up being creating some controversy.
Being in the House leadership structure, are there specific things you've been working on for this special session?
So for this special session, some of the things that we have been talking about that are going to be under the COVID, yes, telehealth is one thing that I've been working on, like telehealth for mental health. I'm on the governor's advisory council, which was another executive order that was put out just slightly before the COVID stuff on mental health and behavioral health. And so I have been working on those. Those are going to be wrapped up into some of the COVID stuff that is coming out during this. Not as, you know, high profile, but working in the healthcare area and how we move forward with COVID and still get people access to healthcare that they need.
Minute or so left. I want to come back to the question about the structure of this meeting, Oregon Public Meetings Law. We know we've seen municipalities, county commissions, city councils, other groups have to change things due to COVID-19 and sometimes just have that online opportunity and taking written testimony. But do some of these rules, some of these laws with public meeting laws call for very specific things, and maybe do they need to be adapted with the technology?
Well, I think that's part of the LC45, what they're going to tackle and try and clarify, still staying within Oregon's constitution of what the public meeting laws mean and what we can and can't do. My concern with that is if we morph into more subjects than just, you know, the COVID response, if we morph into more subjects than that, and those subjects are impactful outside of a pandemic, then I don't think that we should be trying to push through this tiny little straw of, you know, one or two computers or letting people turn in their written testimony and say that that meets the standard of public input or public access for issues that really may not be related to the pandemic.
All right, State Representative Cedric Hayden, just ahead of the special session of the Oregon State Legislature, begins tomorrow. Cedric, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you, sir.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.